Christ in the gospel today gives us that perfect example of his overcoming of temptations. Now, we see in that, first off, that none of us are going to be exempt from temptation. Temptation is part of what makes us to show that we love God. By overcoming the temptations around us, we can prove our love for God because we have to choose to serve him when it's more difficult. We have to choose to fight against our inclinations to give in to those temptations in order to choose something higher, which is God. St. Gregory says that any man who does not suffer temptation is certainly one that is going to lose his soul, because if he's not tempted, then you know he's already living in this world of sin that he no longer has to, that he no longer feels the need to fight against. But Christ is tempted, not that he, as God, would ever sin, but he's tempted by the devil, and he shows us that he can always overcome these temptations. And he shows us that it's by this means of penance and the mortifying of his flesh that he does so. He goes out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and fasts. And when it comes to fasting and penance and mortification and sacrifice, there are really two viewpoints that are out there towards it. There's that of the natural viewpoint towards it, and then there's the supernatural viewpoint towards sacrifice and penance. The natural point, or the worldly viewpoint of sacrifice and penance, views this idea of sacrifice, of penance, of suffering and pain as one of the greatest evils in the world. That any kind of physical pain or suffering, or emotional suffering, or whatever may happen to a person that is not making them feel good at that moment, is some sort of great evil that stands before them because they're in pain, that they're suffering. That's why we see all around us this attitude of always fleeing as far away from the slightest bit of uncomfortableness as possible. The world is constantly looking to avoid any kind of difficulty whenever it can. I think oftentimes when traveling that, you know, in many different ways, at an airport and an airplane is like a microcosm of the world around us as a whole, but certainly in the way of suffering and penance. You know, you're about to board what is ultimately this long purgatorial flight on a plane, and it's, and you see everybody there that is in that same situation as yourself. They're ready, they're getting ready to go on something that might be a couple hours long of sitting in a chair that's not the most comfortable place. And what do you see with the people? It is every single possible thing that they can do to take their mind off of or to alleviate even that slightest bit of discomfort that may come to them. They show up to the airport looking like they had rolled out of bed. They're in pajamas and sweatshirts and, you know, flip-flops and slippers and things like that. Or they're wearing these horrible, horrible, disgusting things, the yoga pants fad that is going on. Whatever it is, they're dressed like slobs. They look like they rolled out of bed or that they're homeless. And then they walk in there and they have, you know, every possible distraction for themselves. They have, you know, their phone with music playing and headphones on, and they have magazines and snacks, and they have these pillows that go around their neck, and everything that they can do to try to make it a little more bearable. That idea of the possibility of being uncomfortable, even for the slightest bit of time, is such a horrific thing that they will pack an entire extra bag just to distract themselves and to comfort themselves. And we see that not just there, but everywhere around us and society as a whole has that same attitude. It's that in a much grander scale, that same attitude. That's why we're so often told that we can't say things that need to be said. Why we can't speak out against immorality in the world. We can't speak out against unnatural unions or abortion or atheism. We can't speak about the true faith being the true faith which we need people to convert to. And, you know, even Bergoglio says that proselytization is one of the greatest evils in the world. Well, if it wasn't for the apostles going around and proselytizing to people, then think of how many souls would go to hell. But it's an evil. Why? Because it makes people uncomfortable in some sort of way. They have to self-reflect upon their own actions. They can't just give in to their basis of passions to make themselves comfortable. They can't just do whatever makes them feel good right then and there at that moment. They can't do whatever makes them, what is going to make their life easier just because it makes it easy. And you cause them to think for a second, or you say that they're doing something wrong, and you're somehow causing them to suffer in this world, and that's a great evil according to the world. And that's why the welfare society that we live in exists, because we can't force people to get work. We just have to give them free stuff. Or we have to do whatever we can to make their time in between work as comfortable as possible without any kind of reflection upon perhaps that little bit of uncomfortableness will be a good motivation. And it's why the Novus Ordo Church, we see, has almost no points of penance whatsoever. All they tell you is that you have to fast on you have to abstain from meat on the Fridays of Lent. I mean, that's hardly any kind of sacrifice at all. And the devil in the scriptures had this very same viewpoint as the world. That's why he came to Christ to tempt him, not when he entered into the desert, but after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil thought, he hasn't eaten in this long. He's been sacrificing for this long. Surely he's going to be weaker now, and surely I will get him. That's the viewpoint of the world and the devil towards sacrifice, the natural viewpoint towards penance. But we as Catholics, we know the natural viewpoint is not the only viewpoint, and it's not even really the licit viewpoint. The real way to look at penance and sacrifice and being uncomfortable and offering these things up is that supernatural way. The realization that these penances, these sacrifices, will ultimately make us stronger. It's not bad to be uncomfortable at times. It's not bad to sometimes feel pain. It's not bad to suffer a little bit. It's not going to kill you. And, as the old saying goes, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And when it comes to penance, that could not be truer. It truly makes us strong. It truly fortifies us in all our ways against temptation and sin. Our passions and our weaknesses are why we sin. They cause us to sin by either building up these passions, which we ultimately at the end will feel like we cannot control, or by the absence of courage to stand up to something that needs to be stood up to, and we fall in the way of weakness. One or the other. It's either too much or too little. But we fall into one of those categories, and we sin by either one of those. And these types of passions and weaknesses are part of our instincts. They tell us to do these things. When we are angry, our instincts tell us to lash out as almost like a protective way against ourselves, to like two dogs fighting for a bone. And when we're weak, it's telling us to flee from whatever problem we see in front of us. It's an instinct, it's something that is hard to fight against. But it is something that, with time, with effort, and with practice, can be overcome. We know that, and that is something that we have to constantly work at. Gene Tunney, some of you of the older variety may remember his name. Gene Tunney was a heavyweight boxing champion of the world back in the earlier half of the 1900s. And he was a good Irish lad who lived in the United States. And he understood from, at least in his own natural life anyways, the importance of penance and sacrifice. He was asked one time by parents, how did he succeed? What made him overcome so many difficulties between poverty and the need to be able to overcome so many different fights and to build up in this way to do whatever he had to do to win? And Jing Tani told these parents who asked him that question that they should never have their boys flee from pain and from suffering. Do not allow them to just take the easy route, and do not allow them to look at suffering and difficulty as something wrong. Because it's only by facing it head on, it's only by going into that and dealing with it as it is, that you can eventually face those hardships and build up a willpower to overcome, to build up a courage that they will one day be able to use when real adversity actually comes to them, and be able to conquer those difficulties when they cannot avoid them, and stand courageously in the face of danger when they have to. And it's during his own career, you see that he did that himself. When in between fights, oftentimes he would go up to Canada, even in the wintertime, and work as a lumberjack for the very purpose of not only making himself stronger, but also making himself uncomfortable. So when he would be in a fight, he wouldn't give up when he started to hurt. It's that same principle for us in our spiritual life, but even more so. We so often shy away, we don't persevere through the things that are there, or we give in to temptation because of the fact that it's hard to resist it, and we then therefore throw up our hands and say, I can't take any more, I just do what the temptation is asking me to do. And it's only by these times of penance and sacrifice that we can really build up that spiritual courage that we need to face those adversities, those moral and mortal adversities to our soul. Because it's by making sure that we don't always shy away from the little difficulties in life that are things that are legitimate, that we can later on be fortified to resist those which are illegitimate, and we have no choice but to have to face them. And so we build up that fortitude in ourselves by our sacrifice. And not only our sacrifice in the physical manner, in our character, but also, and more importantly, in the way of grace. If by hard work and effort we are able to build upon natural virtues and build up strength in things that are going to make us better in life, then it's only by the same means that we're able to build up grace to be able to work with God to win the battle for our souls. And those penance and sacrifices are just that. They are our quickest way of building that storage of grace. They are the best way of pleasing God and getting more and more assistance from Him, because we give of ourselves in a greater manner. We oftentimes think of our prayers and how important they are, and of course our prayers are most important. And what is it to pray? And to pray is to lift up our hearts, minds, and souls to God. That's what the Catechism tells us. However, sacrifice is even greater offering than prayer, because it is still a lifting up of our hearts, minds, and souls to God. But with it, we unite our bodies. We unite our flesh. We unite our very own free will to that and give it back to God. Free will, which is the greatest gift given to us, because it's by that free will that we choose to serve and love God in a true way. It's that free will, that great gift given to us, that giving back of it, even in a small way by our sacrifices, that makes it so much more pleasing to Him. because it's no longer just something that we do as part of a habit or as part of our ritual of the day or part of, I know I'm supposed to say these prayers, but and so I do them. But to sacrifice is to actually give of our own free will. And God accepts that with great gratitude from us. It's a great act of love in that part. When where we are at now is Lent. We are here, it's Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent. And by such, we have before us what seems like this whole long road of sacrifice to go. We have this whole long season. You always notice that during the Eastertide, that Eastertide seems to go by very quick and Lent seems to drag out very long. Well, you know, it's I guess, only natural. But we are here at the beginning of Lent, and we have this whole long road before us. And the only thing that I can think of when it comes to our continuing of the sacrifices that we have is like being with our Lord at the beginning of the Stations of the Cross, the stations which we pray after Mass today. What is the first station of the cross? Our Lord is condemned to death by Pilate. And when we think upon that, that's where we view that road to Calvary as beginning. But if we really stop and look back upon it, what has our Lord undergone at that point? He's already gone through the agony in the garden. He's been arrested. He's been beaten by the soldiers. He's been unjustly tried by the Jews. He's been mocked and spit upon. He's been condemned by the Jews and sent to Pilate. He's been scourged. He's been crowned with thorns. He's been clothed in mockery of regal gowns and falsely adored. And he's even had his own people who he came to redeem choose to free the robber Barabbas over himself. Yet, he still has all of this to go. We're here at Lent. We're at the beginning of the Stations of the Cross. We've just gotten through and we've seen that in these 4 days leading up till today, when we've started our fasting, we've started our sacrifice, we already start to think, oh boy, this is going to be a long Lent. This is going to be difficult. We start to waver a little bit. We think, how am I going to continue on all this way? Well, we've just begun. We still haven't even taken up our cross. We haven't even begun to make our way towards the end. But we know that at the end of it all is great rewards, so many graces, so much ground gained in fighting temptation, so much ground gained in growing in our spiritual lives, so many good habits which we can begin now to carry on later into our lives to continue down that way of saving our souls. And ultimately that light at the end of the tunnel being Easter, representing that fighting the good fight of our whole lives to get to heaven. But to get there, we have to do as our Lord. We have to man our cross. We have to go station to station. We have to go every step of the way, fighting all the way to the end. And it's this penance and sacrifice, giving of ourselves, that will merit us the ultimate reward in the end. But we can't get there by skipping over a station. We can't get there by dropping the cross and giving up. We can only get there by the giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves all the way until the end. This is Lent. This is the spirit that we need to have. This is the focus that we need to have when our times of sacrifice do get hard, when our stomachs are growling at us because we're hungry or we have these prayers set aside and we don't want to push through and do them late in the evening when we're tired. It's those calling ourselves back to that way of the cross that we have to focus on. And realize, just like our Lord, we have to put one foot in front of the other and continue that fight. And when we do, it will make us stronger. It will fill us with more grace, and it will be means to saving our souls. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.